Right portfolio history. Value of a wallet day by day drawn as a line. That's a join, isn't it? You've got balances, you've got prices, you multiply and you add up.
That is the right shape. Everything interesting is in what those two words actually point at.
Balances and prices.
Balances and prices. Start with balances. Say what you think is stored.
A balance for each wallet, for each token, what it held, one of those per day, because otherwise the line has nothing to stand on.
Nobody stores that. What gets stored is movement. This much came in, this much went out, and the block it happened in.
So the balance is the sum of everything that ever happened.
From the first block, the address ever appears in. Walking the movements in order and carrying the number forward is called folding.
And to draw a line, you need that number on every day, not just the days something moved.
Which is the second half of it. On a day where nothing happened, the balance is still whatever it was, so you fill the gaps forward. Fold, then fill. That is the expensive half of a portfolio history, and it has nothing to do with prices at all.
How expensive?
You are walking an address's entire history from the first time it did anything, and you do it again the next time somebody asks.
So somebody solved that.
Twice in two different places, and neither knows about the other. The first one runs in BigQuery. Every cycle, it takes the daily ledger, folds it, fills the gaps, joins the prices on, and writes out a value per address per day. Then it ships the answer back into Postgres so the interface can just read it.
So it's pre-computed. Someone asks for a wallet's history, we hand over rows we already made.
For some wallets.
Some.
There's a cutoff. Only addresses above a certain amount of ledger activity get a pre-computed history. The rest are not in that table at all.
What happens when someone asks for one of those?
The same work happens live. The fold, the gap fill, the price join, all of it in Postgres while the request is waiting.
Hang on, so if I'm a big noisy address, I get an instant answer that's up to a day stale. And if I'm an ordinary wallet, nobody pre-computed anything for me, and I pay the full walk from Genesis on every single page load.
Yes.
That's backwards. The people whose history is cheap to compute are the ones we cached.
It is backwards, and there's no good defense of it. The cutoff isn't about who deserves speed, it's about which walks were long enough to hurt in the batch job.
And BigQuery rebuilds from the first block every single pass.
The whole calendar, from years ago to today, every pass.
Why on earth?
Because prices get corrected and labels get corrected, and a wallet's history changes retroactively when either does. Rebuilding is the cheap way to be right. It just means the answer is a batch product, not a live one.
Fine, so that's the balance half, twice over. What about prices? Both of those joins have to get a price from somewhere.
Same somewhere. A vendor's daily quote table, one row per asset per day with a dollar price on it.
And it's keyed by the token's contract address.
It is keyed by a coin identifier, a name, the vendor's name for an asset.
A name, not an address.
Not an address and not a chain either. One name covers a coin wherever it lives.
Then somewhere in the middle, something has to turn a contract address into that name.
Something does, and it happens upstream, before the balance rows are ever written. By the time you get to the join, the balance row is already carrying the vendor's name for its asset, so the join is a plain match on a name and a day.
That sounds almost too tidy.
It is, and the tidiness hides something. The hard part, deciding which asset a contract address is, got paid for upstream, out of a curated mapping. So the price side isn't limited by how many prices we can observe. It's limited by how many contracts somebody has told us the name of.
So the join is easy, and the naming is the wall.
The naming is the wall. Hold that because it comes back.
All right, so now Starox, where does that come in?
Starox holds balances, not movements balances. For a chain, an address, and a token, the balance at the end of each day.
The fold, already done.
already done and standing there. The expensive half of a portfolio history, the walk from Genesis, the gap fill, is a table you can select from.
Then this is over. Put a price table next to it, join on the token and the day, sum it up. Portfolio history for anyone, not just the busy addresses, and no nightly rebuild.
That is the right instinct, and it is most of the answer. Two things stop it being all of it.
Which two?
One, there is no price side in StarRox at all. Balances only. Two, and this is the one that bites, those balance rows are keyed by contract address, not by the vendor's name.
The naming wall.
The naming wall. The other two joins never see it because somebody paid it upstream. This one would see it.
Okay, but we're not short of prices. There's a whole new pricing system, exchange feeds, pool feeds, a per second aggregate. Put that in StarRox and join against it.
This is the wrong turn worth taking slowly, because it sounds completely reasonable, and it does not work.
Why not? It's a pricing store. It stores prices.
It stores prices of markets, not of assets.
What's the difference?
A market is a pair. Ask that store what something costs, and the answer is always in terms of something else. A pool holding two tokens has a price, and that price is one of them measured in the other. An exchange listing a pair has a price, and it's the same shape.
So a row in there is token against token.
A row is a pair identifier and a number. And the number means the second one measured in the first.
Then where's the dollar price?
There isn't one. There is no row anywhere in that store that says an asset is worth some number of dollars. That is not a gap, it is the design. It records what trades against what, at what rate.
But hang on, dollars is a pair. A token against a dollar stablecoin is a market, so the number in that row basically is a dollar price.
Now you've found the actual missing piece, and you found it the right way round. Yes, you can get to dollars by walking pairs. This token against that stablecoin, or this token against a big coin and that coin against a stablecoin. What you need is a step that walks the pairs, picks a route to a common unit, and comes out the other side with one number per asset.
And that exists.
It does not exist. That is the whole answer to the question. The step that turns pairs into an asset price has not been written.
Not started or not finished.
Not started. There's a name for it and a description of what it would do, and no code.
So the pricing store today cannot answer, what is this token worth?
Today it cannot. It can tell you what it trades at against another token, on a particular market, to the second.
Which is a lot of precision, about a question nobody asked.
That is fair, and it is not the whole story, because there's one more piece, and it is the strangest one.
Go on.
There is a graph. Think about what that store is looking at. An exchange writes a market with two ticker symbols on it. A pool writes two contract addresses. Both land in the same place, both are describing the same market, and nothing in either row says so.
So the graph is the thing that says those two are the same market.
That's exactly what it is. A list of pairings, each saying this on-chain pool and that exchange listing are the same thing, and which way round each faces, because a pool holding the pair backwards quotes the reciprocal.
Rebuilt how often?
Every day, in full, from scratch, replacing what was there, so a delisted market's pairings don't linger.
And it's read by?
Nothing. Nothing reads it.
Nothing at all reads, a graph we rebuild from scratch every day.
Nothing at all. It is written and never selected from. The thing that would read it is the same step we just said doesn't exist, the one that merges the markets a pairing names into a single price. So the map is drawn, correctly, daily, and nobody drives on it.
I want to be annoyed about that, but I think it's fine. You build the map before the road.
That is the honest defense. The uncomfortable part is that it runs in production, on a schedule, and the only thing it produces is a table that grows.
So bring it back to the question, someone wants to join balances against prices in StarRox. What do you tell them?
That it's two questions, and they've been asking one.
Which two?
Where should the join happen, and what feeds the price side?
And the first one?
Nearly settled by what exists. The expensive half is already sitting in Starox, folded, per day. Everywhere else it's either a BigQuery rebuild from Genesis or a walk done live while a request waits. Doing the join where the fold already lives retires both of those.
And the price side?
Today, the vendor's daily quotes. Both existing joins use them, they're keyed by asset and day, and the table is small. Copying it into Starox is a straightforward job. Its limit is the naming wall, and the new pricing store can't lift that yet, because it doesn't produce an asset price at all.
So the new store isn't in this picture?
Not until two things land. The step that merges markets using the graph, and the step that walks pairs to dollars. Neither is written. Until then, it is a very good source of what trades against what, and not a source of what anything is worth.
Last thing, there's the lazy option, don't join, just fetch the balances, fetch the prices, multiply in code.
For one wallet that is completely fine and I'd stop arguing about it. You've got a few hundred assets, you pull a few hundred series, you multiply. Nobody will notice.
And when it isn't fine?
When you can't name the assets in advance. Value of the top holders over time, a leaderboard, an entity rolled up across chains, you don't know which prices you need until the balance side has run. That's where you must have the join, and it's the exact case BigQuery answers by pre-computing overnight for a subset and shrugging at everyone else.
So the join isn't an optimization. It's the thing that makes the unbounded question askable at all.
That's the sentence. And the reason to want it is not that it's faster, it's that it takes a question that currently gets a batch answer for the busiest wallets and makes it a query anyone can run for anyone.